Good morning, everybody. How are you today? It's another beautiful day out there. Really, it's a little chilly. It's going to warm up. Let's start with page 16 and let's stand, please. Page 16. Heavenly Father, thank you for the beautiful day, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to come here to your house today, Lord, to worship you. Thank you that our church doors are open today, Lord. Thank you for the life of your son, Lord, as he came here to be sacrificed for us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, especially all of us that know him, Lord. What peace that we have in our hearts today, knowing our eternal destination. Thank you, Lord, for my church and my church family. The smiles, the handshakes, the hugs, Lord, all that went on. Thank you, Lord, that we can come here and fellowship with each other. Thank you for this great nation we live in, Lord. We know it's many, many problems. Seems like a new one every day, Lord, but you're in control. You're a sovereign God, Lord. You're only going to do what you want to do. Help us, Lord, to understand your plans being worked. Help us, Lord, to remember that we still need to be making an effort for you, Lord, in all that we do. Be with our church today, Lord. Be with my pastor. Guide him, Lord. Direct him. Be with him as he speaks, Lord. Just give him the wisdom that he needs, Lord, to put your message out today. Thank you for this time, Lord. Be with us all. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's see. We have From Everlasting. And it is on the overhead. And we're going to what? Oh, you want to skip it? We don't have to. I'm sorry.
Whatever you guys
want to
do.
Yep, that's what we're going to do. Follow along, folks. It goes back and forth here. Nothing in your sight, never Good. We'll get through that. That wasn't too bad. Let's see. Let's go to our announcements today. Our evening service starts at 6 o'clock, and then we have baptism message and what follows baptism. We have a baptismal tonight. There we go. And let's see. Your answers are due today for a decision on our office nominations. I've been asking a few people here and there. Nominate committee is going to meet right after our morning service today. Our annual business meeting is this Wednesday, the 13th. At 7 in the evening. Deacon meeting on the 14th. Men's Bible study is the 16th. We have personal evangelism the 19th. Wilton Bible study the 21st. If you didn't remember, the clocks went up an hour today. Pastor's thought for the week. Have you answered God like Samuel did when he called, "Here am I, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth"? Wow. Guys, you come forward. We'll take up the morning offering. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day. The change of season is about on us, Lord, the springtime. Lord, I just pray that you keep us, help us to remember you, Lord, in all that we do, and to give you thanks, Lord. Help us, Lord, to remember to tell you that we love you, because we do, Lord. Be as we go into our morning service now, Lord, guide and direct our pastor, and be as now as we try to give a small portion back to thee, Lord. Please be with the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen. We got three songs today. Ivory Palaces. Some of you know it, some of you don't. We got it in an insert. We don't have it in our hymnals. Our old ones we did, but somewhere we got it yet. There it is. Okay. Sing the last.
Is vain, and your faith is also vain. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day. Jesus my Lord, up from the grave he arose.
What a wonderful message that is. We are not here as dead, stoic people. We're here as thankful people in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as they quoted from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which is a great passage on the resurrection, if it were not for our living Lord, we might as well go home and watch the Hawkeyes today. Because that would be high on people's agenda. But you know what? We're here for a reason. And that reason is to commemorate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, all the other gods that are offered to mankind are gods that are dead. And their bones are still in the ground. But the God of the Bible, with a capital G, who is Jesus Christ, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, He is alive today forevermore. His bones are not in the ground, but they were raised on the third day after He tasted death for us. So welcome this morning in the name and power of the resurrection, who is Jesus Christ. It's good to see a nice group out this morning. Hopefully you're enthusiastic. This is always kind of a tough Sunday every year when we lose, in a way, an hour of sleep. Of course, you can always go to bed an hour earlier. But we're here, and I admit today I'm a little off. I'm tired this morning. But we went over to the Fireman's Soup Supper last night here in town, and I think I had 5 bowls of soup. So maybe that has something to do with it, but it was surely good. And anyway, well, we're glad for everyone that's here. If you're here for the first time, or maybe you're here for the umpteenth time, everyone is welcome that passes through our doors here today. So we're thankful, again, for that opportunity that we have. Well, this morning we're going to continue on. I don't know if we'll get finished or not, but we're looking again at the theme of God's holiness manifested in the Ten Commandments and the 613 laws that have come out of that. But also the important part of this is man's unholiness is very well shown in that as well. So this is the third part of that little series. We'll get as far as we get today. We'll make it through. And again, the point of all this is that Jesus came, God sent Him as our rescue. He fulfilled the law in our place. And by God's grace and mercy, if we'll trust in Jesus Christ, if we'll place our faith in Him for the expungement of our sins through what He did in His body and blood on Calvary's cross, we will be given that new life. We are given that new life, and we are redeemed and saved and bought back. Through that work that He has done in fulfilling the law for us. And that's the reason we ought to be excited today. Hallelujah. Praise God. I wanted to sing after the first song this morning. Some of you may have wondered, that's kind of a dry song. It's a great hymn if you look at the words. Immortal, invisible, God only wise. And I just wanted to break out. I thought it might disturb Kay and Patsy if I wanted to sing the end of that. Amen. Meaning, so be it. Hopefully you're excited today about the God of the Bible who has shown Himself to us in the form of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then also today, believers, if you're here as a believer, come today and let the Spirit fill you. The Holy Spirit indwells us when we're saved, but He fills us as we look into the Word, as we work together. He'll grow us. He'll change us. It's a dynamic walk with Him. The church is never supposed to be a place that is dead. The church is supposed to be alive in Jesus Christ. I challenge us all today, are you alive in Him today? By the way, the world says in a couple, 3 weeks here, we're going to celebrate Easter Sunday. But I don't call it that because the name Easter comes from a pagan festival, which I don't want to associate with the God of the Bible. But what it is, it's Resurrection Day. And that is what we celebrate here today, the resurrection of Jesus Christ each and every week. So He is alive forevermore, and ladies, I appreciated that song. Well, enough of me yammering. We need to get busy. By the way, tonight we're going to have a baptismal here. If you're excited about that, for someone that is going to identify publicly in Jesus Christ, that's an important thing. By the way, we are not a liturgical church here. We do not celebrate Lent. Lent has some good aspects, but really the thought of that is that we ought to be in that mode all the time. And giving things up and sacrificing for the Lord Jesus Christ because He did that for us. But we're what's called a free church. And we're not bound by traditions and other things that man has set forth, but we are enlivened through the Word of God, the living Word of God. So that's where we're at here today. Hallelujah. I've been set free in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning we'll begin with a short time of prayer together, silently, as we turn our hearts toward the Lord. This is a time of worship, and that simply worship simply means bowing before the Lord and to show Him His worthiness today and let Him know that this morning. So we'll take just a few seconds here to do that, and then I'll have a short pastoral prayer, and we'll go on in our study of the Ten Commandments to see the holiness of God and the unholiness of man. Shall we pray together? Oh Lord, as we bow our heads now at this time in silent prayer, I know, Lord, you're hearing those prayers today that go up from all of us. It could be a varied thing here today, Lord, but I just want to tell you myself, and I believe that's on the heart of all other people here, that while we live in the midst of the turmoil, as we walk in the flesh, we, by faith, trust, Lord, in you today and in your mercies and grace that have been extended to us. And so therefore, Lord, as I prayed to you silently there, I want to lift you high this morning. I want to let you know that I do not understand in the fullest, but I understand, Lord, that you indeed are worthy of all our accolades and everything that can be bestowed upon you about your goodness. And Lord, I do stand in awe of you today. It's only by your grace and mercy that any of us are able to continue on, Lord, because none of us are worthy, but you are worthy. And your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is, again, the Creator. He's the sustainer of all creation. He's the Redeemer of all creation. And, Lord, He upholds us with His very right hand. And we thank you, Lord, for the power of the Godhead, for the Father, Lord, for the Son, and for the Holy Spirit today. And we just ask today, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would fill us, that it would cause us to think towards you through the Word. And so we thank you for the dynamics and the power of your word, Lord. It is like none other, and it is life-giving and life-changing. And it is your authoritative voice for mankind. Help us to hear you today, Lord. Now we pray, Lord, today, and thank you for all that have come through these doors. But we also pray here today, and we have concern for those who are not coming through the doors today, Lord, or choose not to, again, celebrate the resurrection and to give you praise, Lord, in another Bible-believing teaching church, but we're concerned, Lord, for those that reject you this day. Now, Lord, we know that there could be some of our own number that are in that mode. It might even be today some saved people, Lord, that are struggling in their walk with you. And, Lord, as you know, I struggle in my walk with you, but I know that you have never left me nor forsaken me, and that you will raise me up and help me. I pray today, Lord, that we'd have that heartfelt desire to want to walk with you to the end, to see what's on this journey that you've taken us on. Lord, I trust you for the outcome of that journey today, and I want to see your name praised and glorified. But Lord, for those of our number that may be bitter or depressed or anxious about things, oh Lord, speak to their hearts today. For our community around us, Lord, as they see us gather here with the lot filled with cars, and they know that there is something going on here today, Lord, may you cause them to be inquisitors of what is offered here, which is the love of God in Jesus Christ toward man. So, Lord, we pray for our community and for their souls. And, Lord, we know there are physical ailments that have hindered some today as well. We lift up especially today, Lord, people that are hospitalized and that have had critical ailments. I'm thinking today, Lord, specifically of Chris Ash. I just thank you, Lord, for preserving her, but I pray, Father, yet you would sustain her, but improve her if it might be your will. And we pray for Bo today, Lord, as this has been a long journey. And there are others in our number today, Lord, physically ailing. I pray that you would heal them, Lord, in your time and in your will. But, Lord, there's also many that are spiritually healing, hurting, and I pray today, Father, that you would come along as a great physician to heal all of our ills. Now, we thank you again. As we look into the Ten Commandments today, briefly, and how they manifest you and show us exactly where we're at as humans, Lord, we can't keep them, but we know that you kept them for us, Lord, as you died for the sins of the world, you paid the price. You were the substitutionary atonement for what I should have done. Lord, I should have had my blood spilled and my life snuffed out because of my unworthiness. But you became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in you. And so I thank you for that today, Lord Jesus. Now I pray that you'll help me. I'm a little off today, Lord. I don't know, I must be tired or something this morning, but that you'll just anoint my lips, and Lord, that your Spirit will empower what is to be said today, that it'll have an effect upon the hearers. And so I admit to you, Lord, I am weak, but you are strong. Help us again today as we look into your word, that we rejoice in you today, a day that you have given us. So we ought to be rejoicing and glad in it. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to begin with the fourth commandment, which is the last of the vertical commandments. Now we remember that the commandments, the Ten Commandments, as found in Exodus 20, point to four specific vertical commandments. In other words, what God is, what we are expected to understand about God and what He has told us and how we approach His holiness. But the last six, which hopefully we'll get in, at least started on today, also tell us how we ought to respond to one another. And so we understand this. I don't want to repeat myself over and over, but when Jesus was asked in the New Testament era and during his ministry here on earth, what consists of the whole law? And Jesus broke it down to two things. He said, love God. There's your vertical commandments. And he said, love your neighbor. The whole law can be fulfilled in that. And we need to know that today, folks. If that is the intent of our heart, if we love God and love our neighbor, all the commandments will be automatically fulfilled in our hearts toward those two situations, toward toward God and toward one another. And so you can consider that today. We can't keep the law, but in the idea, if our heart is right before God, and that's what he is giving us as a test here when he gives us these pronouncements about his holiness, we know that we will have accomplished at least some of that. And of course, we know today that the ceremonial law is no longer in effect. We cannot sacrifice anything to take care of our sins. There is no substitutionary atonement in animal sacrifices or offerings that we can give that will pay for our sins. But the Bible says that Jesus died once for all. We don't have to put him on the cross over and over again. He did it once. And all we must do is receive that forgiveness that he has given to us, the sacrifice that he has paid in his body and in his blood and proven out in his resurrection to new life. We must accept that into our lives. And the Bible says we'll be delivered. Hallelujah, amen. We'll be saved. We are a part of God's family now, due an inheritance and able to have a personal walk. That's the key thing today. Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you or me. And he is there for us to uphold us and to encourage us and to strengthen us every day until we are with him permanently for all eternity. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what we're here about today. That's what we're talking about. So today, the fourth commandment. And I want to help us on this because, you know, man has muddied the waters on everything so much. People ascribe to man's teachings about things, but, you know, God tells it just like it is. And if we'll understand what he's telling us, we'll find, again, that God is a God who is very straightforward with us, and he does not have undue expectations of us, but has shown us once again that there are simple things that sometimes we pass in life that he has designed in us, and if we'll do it his way, what a blessing that'll be. And aren't we looking for that today? Don't you think we make a lot of things much more difficult than what God intended? You know, I get this question often and ask about the Garden of Eden. What would it be like to go back to that perfection? Oh, I'll tell you what, I'm sure Adam and Eve regretted the things that took place there in the Garden of Eden. But, of course, God sets everything up for good if we'll trust him. He knew that man would fall, but he also knew that his son would be the redemption for mankind. And God wants to bring us back into that. Folks, today, if you've been placed under the blood of Christ, you placed your sins under his blood, we have a great future to look forward to. It'll be back like it was in the Garden of Eden. We won't be swatting flies. It's going to be perfection. And God has that for us at a time yet to come. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So the fourth commandment today, Exodus 20, if you turn in your scriptures, whether it's on a device or paper Bible, is an interesting thing to ponder here today, and this is found in Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. And this commandment here is simply this, and we'll read it here in just a moment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. By the way, holiness means set apart for God. That's the main thing that we can get into our mind. So we have many things that people think about the Sabbath, but let's read the word, and then I'll give you some thoughts on this. This is Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to be reading this morning verses 8 through 11, and it says the following. It starts out with the word, remember. Now, last week, it's interesting that we also had a memorial service here at Fruitland, which we do once a month. And this is when Jesus told his disciples to what? To do this, or to participate in the Lord's Supper, or what we call communion, in remembrance of me. Now, I think I might have told you this, and Kay, you're always good to flag me down when I repeat myself over and over, but I have a lot of problems when I sub in school with students that don't listen, and they don't remember. And one of the biggest things that you'll find in the school is that everyone likes to talk. And I always tell, it's true, Elaine, whether you want to believe it or not. And I always tell them, when I'm speaking, I appreciate it if you'll listen, but any question you have, and I mean that sincerely, you raise your hand, we'll take time to do it. And I tell the students, I don't like to yell because then I don't have any voice left to yell at my wife or the cows. I'm only joking, someone I know. We have a problem listening, and I tell the students, you ought to eat more fish. Remembering and listening are two of the hardest things for man, but God here tells us again, early on, in his dealings with Israel, he says, remember me. I'd like to just ask us today as we look at that first word there, that verse, how often do we think about God as we go through our daily life? What things, again, intervene to take our focus off the God of the Bible? Well, that's right, Lonnie. All the stuff that we lose when we're concentrating on God, when we have other things intervene, they may be important, but they, again, rob us from our time of fellowship with God. So I just want to throw that out on the table to start with. What robs us from us remembering God? I think everything we do every day can keep us thinking about God if we take it in the right way. But God is giving a commandment here to his people that he had chosen, the Israelites, and he is saying, I want you to remember me in a specific way about certain things. And so let's read the text. Remember the Sabbath day. By the way, the name Sabbath means, or the word Sabbath means, seventh. Now, it just so happens in our culture, and this is our culture only, that the seventh day is normally attributed to the day Saturday. Okay? But just erase that from your thinking. Okay? The Jews did take that to be, but that's really not what God meant. God just simply was telling the Israelites, every seventh day, set that day aside for me. And we'll look at this in just a moment. Here it is. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That word remember also in the Hebrew has the idea of marking a day. Now, in the old days, what was the day that ladies used to wash their clothes every week? It was, Kay says it's Monday, so that must be the truth. It was Monday. Back in the days when most of the ladies were housewives, when they had nothing like a wringer washer, which many of you don't even know what that is, I'm old enough to remember those, or never something like what we call automatic washers today, they did their wash over a scrub board, and they did it by hand, and they didn't have a dryer to place their clothing in. They hung it out on a line when the weather was good, or they kept it inside on a line to dry. But Monday was usually set aside as the day for tasks that involved doing the laundry. And so Monday would be the second day of the week in our culture, Sunday being the first day of the week. And there was a routine to all those things. But God here is saying, mark the seventh day to keep it for me. Well, we'll look at that thoroughly. Here's the pattern that he gave, verse 9. 6 days shalt thou labor. We could talk about labor sometime. But labor was created, actually work was created before the fall of man in the garden. He gave Adam and Eve the responsibility to tend and keep the garden. But work turned into a four-letter word after the fall of man, and work is not pleasant always. And of course, we're told that we'll make our living and our eating by the sweat of our brow. But labor indicates hard work. And God says, you will work hard and do all your work, but... And there's that conjunction again that comes up in Scripture, verse 10. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, what do you think God wanted us to remember, or wanted his people Israel to remember on every seventh day in particular? Obviously, they wanted to remember him, but the other thing that is in front of our very eyes all the time is his creation. And the pattern that God gave is that he created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them in 6 days, and the seventh day he rested. Now, what do you suppose God had in mind here? He wanted us to always remember he created all these things for us. He wanted us to focus as we go through our lives on the creation, that is something that came from him, that this is a divine creation. I'll get into that in just a little bit more here in a minute. But today we've had our focus taken off of God. But the next thing that he did when he said we need to have a rest is that God rested on the seventh day. Now, did God need rest? God does not need rest. He is God. He's capable of going all the time, full strength and never getting tired. God doesn't get tired. But God understood that he had created man in his own image, but we are not God, and that we, what? We get tired. Last Wednesday night, we talked about the word meditation in Bible study here. God is calling us. He still today is telling us we don't have to keep this law, but he wants us to understand that it will be profitable if we do, that we set aside a time to rest, to relax, and do what? Watch Sunday afternoon football. No, but that may not be totally wrong, but he wants us to relax and focus on him, okay, and how he rested and upon the fact that he created this world for us. So God designed this seventh day, and by the way, I don't believe it has to be on a Saturday in our day, but God does want you to take a break every seventh day. Now, I'll admit to you, I've been working fairly hard here lately, and I have not taken the rest. By the way, I don't get a rest on Sunday. That's the day I need to be on top of things. I do need to take time, but you and I can all agree this morning, you cannot work 7 days a week straight very long. You agree with that? We were created by God to have a rest. And folks, our world today has gotten that so far out of whack. But it's about him, to remember him. It is a reminder, again, of he being the creator and his creation. And it is the rest pattern for work and remembrance. And so this last vertical command tells us that. If you turn in your Bibles briefly to Mark chapter 2, verses 27 and 28, the Gospel of Mark chapter 2, verses 27 and 28. Whoops, I went a little too far there. Mark chapter 2, 11 through 28. Mark chapter 2, 11 through 28. And I might have, it's 2:27 through 28, excuse me. And he said unto them, this is Jesus talking about the Sabbath, talking again about with the Pharisees and the leaders of Israel, Sadducees and so forth, Pharisees particularly in this case. And he was illustrating this. And here's what he said in verse 27 and 28. He said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. God created this, again, for the benefit of man. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Now, let me just also interject one other thing as we think about this. When we come to Jesus Christ and ask him to save us and believe on his name and in the work that he did for us in our behalf, we enter into rest. Today, my friends, if we have been born again in the Lord Jesus Christ, sure, we're still in the physical world. We're having to do work. We have the things we must do to support ourselves. We remember this, but friends, never forget this. We've entered into the Sabbath rest of Christ. We no longer have to work for anything. He has given us rest in our lives, in our salvation. Today, that's automatic for us, folks. We're living in the Sabbath every day. We're living in the seventh day every day with Jesus, see? If you're a born-again believer here this morning, we have entered into rest. We are no longer working to do anything, again, that affects our well-being spiritually with God. You know, it's been done for us in Christ. We're not saved by our works. We're saved through the work of God given in on behalf of our life. So again, this was given to us for our benefit by God and as a way to remember. By the way, today many people have asked me, is it wrong to work on Sunday? Through historically, and I've just told you, I'm working today on Sunday. This is work, but it's really not work. I know what you're going to say. Well, Pastor, maybe we just ought to... But the fact of the matter is, Kim and I have practiced not trying to do a lot of things on Sunday because that is a day that needs to be devoted for rest and, again, for worship. And the early church set that very straight. I mentioned and alluded to that earlier about the day of resurrection. Jesus rose on the first day of the week. So here's where the thinking has been about that regarding our Sunday. We celebrate today both the redemption of Christ, again, on the first day of the week, and also the creation. And so rest in Christ can be combined. If we look at Sunday as our seventh day rest, but also the first day of the week that commemorates the Lord Jesus and his resurrection. And that's the history in part of where we come to gather in our calendar, modern calendar, on the first day of the week, which is our Sunday. Okay? So it's a day to literally rest. And so this has a basis now in both of these things where we fulfill, again, resting in Christ, but also worshiping the Lord on the first day that commemorates his resurrection. So that's something to think about. Now, let's look at this from the perspective of man. Folks, I am a biblical creationist. I believe in the literal account of creation. Okay? I do believe what the Bible says. I believe it's true. It claims to be true. And I don't find that it can be disproven. Evolution, though, in the last century, but it's always been in the heart of man, of unredeemed man, to believe things other than what God plainly says. I mentioned that earlier this morning. We want to make things more complicated. We want to try to build our thinking into things and not just simply believing God. By the way, I believe it's all there if we want to believe it and accept it. But when you understand over the last 100-plus years how the fact of evolution has come into the thinking of mankind, that this is not a divinely instituted thing that became of what we have today in front of us, that somehow it takes more faith to try to believe in evolution than it does in the biblical account of creation, yes. Just in case you ever thought about that. But it's plain, it's right before our eyes. But folks, we have bitten into this as a society. And this is all part of Satan's plan to derail people from a personal walk with Jesus Christ, in my opinion. You see, today, it's rebellion. We rebel against the very things that are plainly seen. Doesn't Romans 1 say that? Yeah, Paul says that in his letter to the Romans. We rebel against God. And folks, that's the whole thing with all these commandments. We are rebels by our very nature. We don't want to believe and accept what God has done, even though what he has done and said is beneficial for us. I've said this before. People tend to bite the hand that feeds them. God has shown his graciousness towards us, and we want to reject it and rebel against it. Now, as we think about that with evolution, we also bring into a lot of other factors that are involved in this that come from the heart of man. By the way, Jeremiah 17:9 says our hearts are desperately wicked beyond belief. We can't even understand how wicked our hearts are. But folks, one of the biggest things that comes into the heart of man is the S with the two toothpicks. Money. And let me tell you, Mankind has cranked this whole philosophy up that we have to be making money every day. We've got to be doing something every day because we need more. When God says you can do it and have everything you need if you do it my way. God tells us in Philippians 4:19, I will supply all your needs through my riches and glory in Christ Jesus. But what does man say? No, I need more, Lord. I can't get along. I can't get along without that extra day of work. You know yourself, the stores are open today. If you're older like I am, you know there was a time very few things were open on Sunday, but today they are. Why is that? It's about the money, folks. It's about Satan's delusion. And I believe this thoroughly. If we could add a day or two to the week, they'd find a way to do it, to be able to get in more money and to hook more people into possessions and all the materialistic stuff that goes on in our world. What do you think about that? Folks, it all comes again, and the reason we have this today is evolution. People don't recognize the God of the Bible. By the way, all this teaching as well, and in our rebellion, work and money then is what I'm saying is a part of that. We have also legalism, though, today as well. By the way, God does spell out many things, black and white, the things that are beneficial for us. But the legalistic teachings of man, these have brought on many of these type of things. By the way, God is not going to strike you down if you don't take that seventh day rest immediately. But if we don't, if we fail to recognize him, he will take us down. But it's by our own doing. He doesn't expect that we take Saturday off necessarily, even though that can be your seventh day Sabbath rest. There's nothing wrong with that where you recognize him. But the point is, he wants us to take every seventh day off, however it works in your calendar, to focus on him, to remember him. But man has brought legalistic teachings into those kind of things. We have things like Seventh-day Adventism that would say Saturday is the day that we're to worship the Lord and make that a legalistic thing. But here's what I think and what I see from the Scriptures. We need to get purposed in our heart a day that we set aside for rest and remembrance. R&R, okay? And that's the idea of this. And so the point is, God's manifested his holiness to us, but man has shown again our what? Our unholiness, that we've turned it into something that is not, again, what God intended. I ask us today to consider that. We cannot be saved by keeping the law. Jesus kept it in our place. But we can certainly bring glory to God by doing it his way, and it'll be profitable for us as well to do that. By the way, Matthew 6:24 says, you cannot serve God and mammon, money. And so there is a factor, folks, in all these things that we see before us today, where and what is our priority toward the Lord. He wants us to take a day, again, each week, for our own benefit, but also to remember him. Now, enough said about that, but you can see what we're getting at here and what we've been trying to get at. God's shown us his holiness, but man continually rejects it. My prayer today is that we'll get this right before God and we'll do it his way and understand why he instituted these things, because they are for our benefit. All right, now we're going to move on here in just the last few minutes we have to the first of the horizontal commandments. And we'll look at these also from the same perspective. And these are the relationships that God has instituted between us and others, okay? Very important that we look at that. He wants us, again, to have a pure heart toward him, but also a heart of fellowship towards mankind. And the first thing of that is our brothers and sisters in Christ. God wants us to love each other. Isn't that what he says? He says, love one another. Yeah. But he also wants us to love our fellow human beings. We need to have a special place for them because God is love. He reaches us through love. And folks, we will be able to reach others with his love by loving them as well. And to check that in our hearts. He wants us to have fellowship not only with himself, but with one another as believers, but also on a limited basis as we can with people for his sake and for his glory. So this brings us to Exodus 20, and verse 12, and brings us to the fifth commandment, or the first of the six horizontal commandments. So Exodus 20 and verse 12. And the first one that God gives here in that horizontal commandment pattern is to honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Pretty simple there, isn't it? Honor thy father and thy mother. God, again, has set that as a standard of his holiness. Now, let's admit it, folks. There are some bad parents out there. There always have been, haven't there? No parents are perfect. You know, it's interesting, when our children are young, they have many times opportunities where they can have critical things to say about their parents. I've said it about mine. But God has opened my heart through the years, and I've seen it in our own children. And he says, you know what, this is not an easy thing. And we all make mistakes, but we can learn from our parents' mistakes, and we can benefit from the things that our parents have done right. And I want to just say this, give your parents a break. And kids, your parents are going to have trouble, and you know what, is Faith, maybe you've thought about this, others that are of your age group, our children now, as they get into their late 30s and 40s, are saying, you know what, maybe you weren't such bad parents, because we're having a hard time too with these kids. And you know what, the problem there again comes in our rebellion against what God would have us to do. Now, maybe you had the worst parents in the world here today. And that can happen. And there are some tragic things of abuse and so on and so forth. But never at least understand this. Your parents were used of God because their union created your life. Your parents are the reason you're here. That has to have some relevance. By the way, sometimes we need to forgive our parents. That's what God would have us to do. You know, further down the line in Galatians 6:1, God tells us again, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for that is right. Am I correct on that? Yeah, that's Galatians 6:1. You know, there is a purpose in our parents and in honoring our parents. By the way, several of the reasons there, and that I'll add into this morning, why God has said this, he wants us to reverence our parents or respect them or recognize them for who they are. And again, they may have faults. But in general, he also wants us to what? To obey our parents and to do the things that are right that they have told us to do, because they, at least last I knew, are responsible for their children. At least until what? Till the children become of age. But in a sense, I'm still responsible for my kids. You know, I shouldn't just turn the other way and let things go. I should say, hey, you know, let them know some things, but also encourage them. But God has set that order of honor because they are the creators of your soul. They're very important. By the way, the parental order that God has given and the fact that we should honor our parents, it brings encourages societal order. And folks, today, in this day that we live, we know that that is something that's been thrown out the window to a great extent. And we have the chaos today because we see children that rebel against their parents. We see the parents that don't operate under the authority of the Lord. And as it says here, it can affect the generations. Folks, we're two or three generations into a time when there is no parental respect and very little parental proper teaching that's going on. And what it's brought into our time is turmoil and chaos like none other. You agree with that this morning?
Yes.
It promotes stability and continuity in society. And friends, we suffer from that today. The other thing it says there in that verse is that it gives us what? Longevity of life. That your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. It's a key to life and to national longevity, folks, that God gives us. Honor simply means the recognition of their place and influence in our lives. God's saying that. It's a necessary thing. How we view our parents correlates to how we operate in the rest of our lives. What do you think about that? If you're a rebel against your parents, you may have an axe to grind against them, but if that follows through the thread in your life, you'll raise people with an axe to grind against you as well. How we view our parents correlates to how we operate in the rest of our lives. Well, here's how man looks at all this, folks, as we come to the conclusion today, and we'll come back again next week, Lord willing. Of course, God gave us the ideal in the horizontal relationship of His holiness, but man, in our hearts, we truly lack love for God, and that also tends to have a lack of love for one another, for parents for their children, and children for their parents. And folks, this all is of satanic origin, because we are not thinking straight, because we have not been informed under what the Word of God has told us in our lives. It's rebellion and blame. Rather than thanking God for our parents, we see them as an extension of what we don't like about God. We see our parents as an extension of what we don't like about God. When God establishes His holiness, we don't like it before we're redeemed. We rebel against it. And that's why we have these kind of things that come about. We gloss over our own shortcomings and we blame God for our parents' mistakes. And thereby we struggle with this chain of command. Love God. God says that's the vertical. Love your parents. First thing, obey your parents. Honor your father and mother. That's the first commandment there with promise, the book says. As I said, there are some horrible parents out there, and I'll also say this, there are some horrible children as well. But folks, there's a legacy in, once again, honoring thy father and thy mother, as God tells us. It's not only a spiritual legacy, because the Bible also says He can bless those parents and that connection that's made with children to the third and fourth generation. He can remove and curse it if we don't. And folks, I believe we're in that season today in general. There is a legacy, once again, in Christ that has to do not only with the spiritual, but it also comes into the business. I've often told the boys, you have a legacy here in what your ancestors have done when they settled this ground here where they went to. It's not a legacy that you have to maintain, but it's a legacy that should cause you again to remember those who have gone before you and remember God in that legacy as well. So these are important things. But there are some bad parents, and again, there's a parental example that follows with this too, which says further in Ephesians chapter 5, husbands, love your wives, and see that the wife reverence her husband. Folks, if we will live that as well, if all these things are fulfilled that God has commanded, it will have an impact on our children. Folks, we need to get back to the basics of God in the day that we live to see these orders reestablished and to see God placed as supreme and for who He really is in the lives of people. Anyway, that's what God wants, but man has made a choice that often goes against the holiness of God and shows us our desperate need for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So today as we conclude, and we'll look into the rest of this next week, Lord willing, the rest of the commandments, we find this as we conclude here briefly today, that all the things that we've studied prove that Israel, in its day, as God worked with Israel and gave those commandments, nor mankind in general is able to love God of our own volition. As I've said a couple times this morning, we're all rebels. Satan has inspired us to rebel against our Father God and even our parents, as we've seen here in that fifth commandment, the first of the six that are horizontal. And so, again, we are not able to love our God of our own volition and to do it with our whole hearts, which is another commandment that God gave to Israel, to love Him with their whole heart, mind, soul, body, and strength. We look into this more, again, as we go through this study, and I pray that you have been, but I think it's a foregone conclusion that the Ten Commandments and what flows out of them shows us that we personally are unable to approach a holy God as an unholy people. Therefore, we needed the mediator, who is Jesus Christ, to fulfill the law in our place, that by us claiming His fulfillment that He has offered to us, we are reunited and able to have true fellowship with the God of the Bible. Of our own doing, we cannot do it. He is the mediator, and he is the man called Jesus, and he is the whole point of the law before us. We come to understand he's our only hope, who will deliver us from the penalty, power, and eventually the presence of sin that the law exposes in us that we cannot keep. When we understand and are delivered, then we can love Jesus, God, as he intends. Folks, when we come to understand what we've been talking about today, we can really see how God loves us and how we have every reason to be so thankful and love him. So important. We can love Jesus and God as he intends. Well, again today, can we sing truly in our hearts, "Oh, how I love Jesus"? The law shows us why we can love God through Jesus and how he has made a way for us, again, who were unable and unworthy to fulfill and to have a relationship personally with God because we cannot keep the law. The law still has a relevance today that points us to our neediness and shows us the way through Jesus Christ. Today is a day to yield and to stop rebelling and to do it God's way. And through Jesus, to have ourselves in fulfillment of the law and no longer be the enemy of God. And so today, that's my invitation. Come to Jesus today. Realize he is the one who has fulfilled it in our place. He has shown us through his law that we are unholy, but his Father is holy, and he is there to unite us back into fellowship with God the Father. And it's available for us today. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand if you're able today. Page 161 is what we have in our bulletin. Must Jesus bear the cross alone? Page 161. And I think we have a misprint here. No, it's right. It's correct. But consider this. Jesus became sin for us on that cross at Calvary. And he bore our sins in his body. Can you imagine what he did for all the sins of the world? For all can be saved, not all will. But he bore every sin of the world. And then he shed his blood, again, to cover our sin, so that we might be seen as righteous before the God the Father when that has been imputed to our life. So again today, may we understand what God has done for us. Let's sing this today. If you have something again today that you're in need of the Lord, you are in need of answers, God has answers for you today. If you're needy, if you've never been freed from the law by receiving Christ, this is the day to do that, to be born again in Christ, become a new creature. I'd love to talk to you about that. You can come forward. There's other needs. If you have questions, mention something to me here at the end of the service. I'd be glad to help you. Here we go. Jesus, bear the cross alone, and all the world go free. Marlon.
God's help. I need help with becoming a church member.
Praise God, Marlon. Yeah, that's fine. Just stand right here. Yeah. The cross for me. I'm excited to tell you that Marlon says he's ready to become a member here at Fruitland. So we're glad to hear that this morning. Marlon, praise God. Let's sing the last stanza. And again, if there's a need or an exciting thing in your life and you want to get closer to the Lord today and to be more involved in his work, this is a day to let that be known. We're glad to hear those kind of things today. Oh, precious cross, oh, glorious crown, oh, resurrection day. Ye angels from the stars come down and bear my soul away. May you have a blessed afternoon in the Lord. We'll regather here tonight at 6 o'clock. We have a baptismal tonight. Again, we'll have some preaching from the Word, but as we consider what we've heard today, may this day be a day of rest, as you so choose, and a day to remember the Lord today as He gives us this wonderful day on the what? The 10th of March of the year of our Lord, 2024. Doug Chatfield, would you dismiss us with prayer, please?